I'm from Lumagrow. I've been there for about a year and a half, and I wanted to talk today about some of the challenges and successes I have. My role is mostly coordinating grower trials, so one of the big challenges with implementing supplemental lighting is there's a lot of differences that growers need to make to their crop, and more importantly, it's a really big investment. So day-to-day, I kind of help growers through what they're going to look at when they implement a trial, what sort of challenges are going to arise as we go through, and how we're going to overcome those. So typically we have four objectives. One, they're adding supplemental lighting in a case where they didn't originally have it before. Two is replacing old HPS lamps or other technology with LEDs. Three is investigating light quality to see what they can change as far as plant morphology or yield or fruit quality. And then four is different lighting approaches. This is things like smart lighting, integrating with their greenhouse control systems, and et cetera. So first, their objectives for adding supplemental lighting is determining the optimal light intensity, specifically DLI, but that kind of turns into what's the insulation density of the fixture is going to be, what micromole level and photoperiod are you going to target. Testing varietal responses, which varieties respond best to an increased DLI. Changing any plant densities with increased DLI. And then any adjustments of planting dates or harvest dates based on increasing your photoperiod. Or a fundamental change in production cycle. So two of these examples, this is a grower in Ontario, Orange Line Farms. On the left, they were originally growing strawberries with no supplemental lighting. By adding supplemental lighting, they were able to reduce their time to harvest and actually capture earlier harvest dates around American Thanksgiving when the prices are highest. And on the right now is what we're working on, implementing lighting on peppers, and Schumann's going to talk about that a little bit more because they basically moved ahead with this based on his research. But they've never lit this crop before, and very few people are doing it. So for people replacing HPS lamps, they need to understand the production with the loss of heat, especially when being compared in a side-by-side experiment. Again, testing varietal responses to the different light fixtures. And then revisiting the effective intensity. You know, a lot of times we go somewhere and they think they're getting an actual light intensity, but when we measure it, whether it's because of, you know, the technology or decline in bulbs or reflectors, you know, they're not necessarily getting that PPFD. So revisiting what the right PPFD is. So this is another setup we have here where we've got LEDs on the left compared to their old HPS system, and you can see my poster actually after this session talking about those challenges. And then investigating light quality. Can we influence plant morphology? Can we have different yields, whether it's biomass or something like lettuce or in fruiting crops? Or looking at fruit quality, what's the effect on the actual fruits? So we actually did look at that on strawberries. And then there's the different lighting approaches. Looking at smart lighting practices like DLI control, like the student at Georgia presented yesterday, using our technology. Or also evaluating lighting in terms of yield inputs, such as grams per kilowatt hour, grams per dollar input, the sort of things that it makes it simple for a grower to understand if they're seeing benefits with their lighting or not. So these are all very clear objectives, but what the problem is, the grower's main day-to-day objectives don't always line up with these goals. So where and when do things go wrong? I kind of wanted to do this like Family Feud style. I've got six answers on the board, but I'm not sure if I can, you know, get them to come up as you shout them out. So I'll go through them because I'm afraid that no one will say so. So number one is the size of the experiment. Two is how they're going to adjust their inputs to try to keep the variables as close as possible while only changing lighting. Three is the number of variables they're going to look at. Four is how are they going to take the measurements? What are they going to take? Five is the long cycle times of a lot of the crops we work with. And six is changing practices mid-trial. And so now I'm going to go through all these and kind of use some examples and how we meet those challenges. So first off is the size of the experiment. Where are you going to put this trial? And that's based on, you know, what size of area do you need to know where you're going to get good responses on? Based on what can you sacrifice as far as are you going to lose yield? Are you going to waste a lot of time? Not waste time, but is it going to take a lot of time to look at that? So it needs to be large enough to draw conclusions, and that's based, you know, anything less than 500 square feet is going to be really challenging depending on what the crop is. The cost of the fixtures, this is easily a tough one too. There's a bit of a sticker shock when implementing LED lighting especially. So a couple of ways we look at that. We have a money back guarantee where if they don't see responses that we've agreed upon, you know, we'll take the lights back and ease the hit a little bit. We can also find research and utility grants to pay for the lighting fixtures or to pay for some of the research that addresses either through extension or through government. And then the third is the effects on the surrounding area. So this is an interesting case. We weren't necessarily looking at this specifically, but you can see there's HPS lamps here, and you can see the effect on their short days. This is the sort of thing you need to take into account. The light's going to spread away from the plants that you're just looking at, and is it going to be better? Is it going to have a detrimental effect or maybe a beneficial effect, but they're probably not ready for those plants to flower. So you need to have proper site selection. That's not always going to happen, but this is a great case here where at the strawberry farm, they grow peppers all around it, but they've got an enclosed area where they can control heat, temperature, and CO2. So that's not going to happen all the time, but if it does happen, it's a great trial to go ahead with. So adjusting inputs, this is kind of just what I talked about. Accounting for radiant heat, if you're comparing side-by-side HPS, being able to increase that air temperature. But the big challenge is temperature just goes wherever. So you may need to put up plastic partitions, but then you have to account for airflow. So this is something where you really need to be on site, seeing where the best area to set up to be is. Adjusting fertigation for new photoperiod and DLI. This is a big challenge as well. If you're increasing the photoperiod, you also need to increase your irrigation timings. You can't have lights come on 8 hours before the sun rises and expect plants to do well. And as well as with increased DLI, you might need to increase your method delivery. So either an increased frequency or more irrigation stakes or something like that. And then increasing your added CO2 delivery. This is a challenge because it's a pretty rudimentary way of delivering CO2. But if you're, you know, increasing light, all of a sudden you have different limiting variables, so you might need to look at other things. So the number of variables, this is also challenging. Looking at too many crops or cultivars, select your most relevant or your traditional problem crops. If you see some things that are always lagging behind in low light, maybe those ones are good ones to look at, but also selecting your top varieties that you really want to focus on. Too many light intensities or spectra. This is an interesting one I saw in Europe where they had 7 different light treatments in, you know, about the span of 40 feet. I don't think they're actually going to learn anything from there, and especially the way they're delivering the different light intensities. So kind of the idea maybe is to step back and look at 1, 2, or probably around 3 different light intensities, find that range, and then build from there. There's no sense putting in 7 different treatments and not having any idea which one was best. And then looking at multiple plant densities, just keep it consistent. Figure out, work with the breeder, work with, you know, what's worked in the past under high and low light, and try to select 1 or 2 different densities. So here's one where we have a bunch of different densities and a bunch of different crops, but this is our partner in a potted herb grower. But the thing is, we're not changing light intensity here, so you're able to look at different things as long as you're keeping your variables consistent. Taking measurements. This is a big challenge as well. A lot of people here, they have very nice university labs. These are commercial growers. So we'll have to provide the equipment and the expertise. So we'll meet with the grower. If you want to take spectroradiometer treatments before and after the trial, you have to go there at night. And if it's in the north, in the summer, it might be very, very late. But showing them how to use the spectroradiometer, why we do it, and making sure your light treatments are what you say they are. Not having time. Assist with the relevant measurements. If you know that there's going to be a certain time of year where you're getting flowering or something like that, or they don't have the time to take that, you know, take time in advance to say, okay, I'm going to be there this week in this range. Let me know when I need to be there and work together. More importantly, though, find the metrics that they do track. This is some crop registration here. So growers will do this for all varieties. Where you can see these tags, they're tracking flowering each week, so that they have a rough idea of what fruit they'll have available for their marketing weeks down the road. So this is some data here that a grower, you know, the data is not important, but the wealth of it is. Like, they're looking at staging quality. This is the fruit quality weeks in advance of harvest and leaf area index for different varieties and different light treatments. If your growers are taking these already, this is something great that's to capture and actually look at. It's a challenge. You got to make sure that your variables are correct. But growers are taking a lot of data, just figure out what's relevant and what's not. Long cycle times is a huge challenge as well. It limits the effect of supplemental lighting windows. If supplemental lighting is most effective in the winter, you need to get your lights in there in October at the latest, basically, or else you're chasing, or you'll start lighting as days get longer, and you're going to limit the effect on lighting. Also, make the areas flexible for crop type. If you want to look at multiple things, maybe look at some crops during the winter and then other problem crops that you'll have during the spring and fall. And then this also limits possibility for replication. That's a huge challenge as well. We like to have replicates. So split plots work when space allows. I had a nice greenhouse where I could split the plots as we go along, and each row, as the rows run down, you can have different variables as well. So here's one where we looked at multiple lighting treatments for strawberries, and we were able to have different light treatments, and we actually set these off for some variety testing or some nutrient testing. But this is what leads me into changing practices mid-trial. Changing stem or plant density, and then fruit pruning. So these are things that kind of need to be done based on plant characteristics. But as long as you, you know, make sure you communicate, you know, what you're looking for as far as lighting goes, when to change that density, when to take an extra stem. And then my favorite is changing treatments based on preliminary results. With those strawberries I just showed you, when we looked at the first few weeks of yield, they saw one treatment that was much better than the other. And we did have replications, but they wanted to go ahead and get rid of the whole back half of the treatment because they saw what they might have been losing if all the treatments were as good as the best treatment. So we kind of had to sit down. Again, we had to communicate and say, okay, you have requirements as a grower for what your yield needs to be, and here's what it essentially could be. So I kind of broke down and let them change the back half of the trial so that they were able to meet that production because they were getting a lot of pressure from the sales and marketing team. So going back to all those challenges, the size, the inputs, the variables, the measurements, the cycle times, and changing practices, all these can be solved with communication. Making sure that we, you know, meet with our growers, make sure they're very well educated in how lighting works. But those sorts of things where we can see the, you know, making sure you're on site, looking at the size of the trial, what sort of things you anticipate on running into, and then just addressing those together. So I left it a little bit short. I want to make sure, I don't know if there's any challenges that I didn't go over or challenges that anybody else sees when they go meet with growers or work with growers, and how we can address those too, or any questions in general. Yes, Mark. So the question is, are the growers or owners, do they have someone dedicated to this research? So the last two people I showed, the one on the right, he's actually R&D manager for the for Freeman Herbs. So he, this is exactly what he does. It's not necessarily lighting research, but he also has biological research, substrate research that he manages specifically. The grower on the left, he is a grower. He does a little bit of work looking at new inputs, but it's on top. So the grower on the right, I'm more hands-off with him. The grower on the left, I'm more hands-on because he has already has a pretty heavy workload. Same question?
Similar question.
All right. Melanie, yes. Yeah, I would say the four main partners that I spend a lot of time with, they actually all do have dedicated R&D people, which is really important because it could be, you know, a waste of time and effort if, you know, you're implementing lighting and there's no one there to keep track of it. So time for one more comment. Yes. Yeah, that one's challenging because the question was about profit increase. They generally can see, the challenge is making sure you have a control, seeing what you get when adding lighting and what you get without it, and being able to understand what your increase was and what the value of that is. some growers are pretty good also at tracking what the cost of implementing lighting is, what the cost of the extra inputs was. But it's really a case-by-case basis.